Romans 8, and we'll read again verses 5 to 8. Romans 8, verses 5 to 8. Where Paul writes, those who live according to the sinful nature, and actually the word there is simply the word flesh, and that's how Paul actually says it. It's translated here as sinful nature, but the latest NIV actually translates it just as flesh. That's what I prefer myself. Those who live according to the flesh, the body, have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So, the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. That's what I want for my mind. I'm sure that's what you want for yours. So when I was down in Edinburgh this week, we were getting training on various things, and we had a session with a man who is a chaplain in the field of football sports, a Christian man who specialises in sports chaplaincy. And he did a session with us on mental health, in fact, two sessions with us on mental health in the ministry. And he focused on a lot of things that are good for our mental health, and not just in ministry, but for all of us. Things like making sure you get exercise, looking after your health, looking after your diet, getting a good night's sleep every night, working rest times into your routine each week, a day of rest, holidays, delegating if you've got responsibilities, sharing them out, not taking everything on yourself, the importance of good relationships with other people, the importance of laughter, the importance of music, and the importance of thankfulness. And we've all, in thinking about this already, seen that good mental health needs all these kinds of things. But what we've been focusing on really is that for good mental health, the Bible teaches the most important thing is a good relationship with God. And so the final thing that our sports chaplain spoke about was the importance of living in the love of God, is how he put it, living in the love of God. Well, what's Paul going to tell us today about mental health? He's speaking here about the mind in these verses, and there are two minds. There's the mind of the Spirit, or there's the mind of the sinful nature, or of the flesh, the mind of the flesh. So, which mind are you in today? The mind of the Spirit, or the mind of the flesh? What he's thinking about here is what we think about during the day. What do we think about all day long ourselves? What are our thoughts habitually dwelling on? Where do you find your thoughts constantly returning to? We live in a part of the world where we say that the prevailing wind comes from the southwest, and that determines our climate here. We've got a kind of wet climate, but a mild climate because of that prevailing wind. If the prevailing wind here was from the north, it would be a very cold place indeed. If the prevailing wind was always from the south, it would be a warmer place. What's the prevailing direction of your thinking? What's the climate of your thinking today? Is it coming from a cold place or a warm place? Is it producing a healthy climate in your mind, or an unpleasant climate, a difficult climate? There are basically two directions that our thoughts can take in Paul's understanding here. So in verse 6, there's either the mind of the flesh, which is death, or the mind of the Spirit, which is life or peace. And they produce entirely different climates. The climate of death or the climate of life. Very, very different. Very different mental health outcomes. Life and peace, as verse 6 described, is when your mind is in a happy place, when your mind is in a quiet place. So when I was down in Edinburgh this week, the weather was kind of like this most of the week in Edinburgh. It was really actually very pleasant. So I was away Monday to Thursday. And when we left early on Monday morning, they were talking about the storm that was blowing in, but I didn't see any of it. By the time I came home on Thursday, it was quite settled again here. And I was in Edinburgh, and it was just quite like this all the time I was there. But I was in touch with home, and home was saying, "It's horrible. There's lightning, there's thunder, there's hail, it's cold, it's windy, and it's wet, it's really unpleasant, disruptive." So, what's it like in your head? You know, is it like the weather in Edinburgh, nice and calm, pleasant? Or is it like the weather you had here earlier in the week? Frightening, disturbing, upsetting. There's two different kinds of experience here being described. There's flesh or spirit. Verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature of the flesh, they have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And that's what makes the difference. You either think about what the flesh wants, your body, or you think about what the Spirit of God wants. So, what do you hitch your mind up to today? Do you hitch your mind up to the flesh or to the Spirit? What's your mindset? What's your mentality? What's your mind set upon? If we're speaking about the flesh here, what's translated here is the sinful nature, we're talking about the body. We're talking about what the body wants. And your body has lots of wants. Our bodies want to feel good. And at the same time, we're just talking about the Spirit here. We're talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. What God wants and how He wants us to lead our lives. And what your body wants and what God wants are often very, very different. So you can either be a person who lives with your mindset on what your body wants, or your mindset on what the Spirit wants. If your mindset on what your body wants, then you're going to be wanting things that make you feel good. Now, have you noticed that there are things that make you feel good? Like a meal when you're hungry. Sleep when you're tired. A job well done makes you feel good. So we were made. We're made by God. We're made to enjoy intimacy. So we're made to enjoy sexual intimacy with our partners. That feels good. Good company with our friends. That feels good. The success of our families. That feels good. The Bible speaks about wine to gladden our hearts. That feels good. Success and achievement. There's a long list in the Bible, a long list in our experience in life of the things that, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, God richly provides us for our enjoyment. God's not against enjoyment. He's not against us feeling good. He's not against us. I mean, that's how he's caricatured often. No, he's the one who's made us so that if we do certain things, we will feel good. And there are many, many, many things that will make us feel good. And what actually the feeling is in our brains. It's our brain chemistry. It's happy chemicals in our brains that get switched on by the things that we like. But the thing about happy chemicals is they're addictive. We want more. And we can get more. Like, if we want, we can take cocaine and get lots of happy chemicals in our heads and very quickly get addicted to doing that. But it's much subtler than that. There's lots of things to put happy chemicals in your brain and make you feel good, make your body feel good, and make you want to come back for more. Like, at this very point when I was preparing this, Margaret very kindly brought me a cup of coffee. And now I like coffee. Coffee gives happy chemicals in my brain. So, thank you. And seeing Margaret gave me some more happy chemicals as well. Okay, so that was nice. And I thought, maybe a wee biscuit or something would be nice with the coffee. So I went through to the kitchen, and there were no biscuits, which is a great thing about being married to a dentist. Spares me a lot. My body shape would be very different probably if I was married to a confectioner or something like that. But in any case, there was a little bit of the gluten-free Christmas cake that I made myself still left, so I cut a wee bit of that. Sugar will give me some nice happy chemicals, not for very long. It's rubbish because immediately you drop away from it and feel worse than you did before, but it gives you a little chemical hit for a wee while. So I sat down to work again, and I was working on my iPad, so I remembered I was expecting an email from someone. So instead of getting down to work, I flipped over to see what the email was doing, and oh, there's a wee red one, there's an email. Yes, I feel good, more happy chemicals, someone wants me. And so it goes on. Do you know that Google and Netflix and Amazon and the big food companies like Nestle, Unilever, all these companies, they are spending millions of pounds on gathering data from you to find out how they can addict you to what they provide. Millions are being spent on giving you happy chemicals so that you'll spend money in their place, make them rich by them basically addicting you to their services and their products. So it's like they're figuring out what to bait their hooks with so that they can go fishing for you again and again and keep you coming back and coming back and never far away. It's not good. Do you know what I feel really sorry for? Fish. Fish in those city reservoirs where the city anglers go out every weekend and they go fishing and they pull in their carp or whatever and they grab the carp and they get the barb took out of the carp's jaw, it hurts poor carp, chuck it back in and say, see you tomorrow. And they go fishing tomorrow and they catch the same poor carp and they haul it out again and they haul the, I don't know what the inside of these. I remember Jamie, when I was down in London a couple of years ago, took me to one of those reservoirs, and just as we kind of pond and people are hauling these huge carp out of this pond and then throwing them back and then someone else catches them, same one 10 minutes later. That's no fun, because all the little fish you wanted was a little happy chemical by, if I snap that bit of food that's there, I'll feel good. Unfortunately, it's on a hook and it's caught. And that can be like, it can be like that for us in life. And that's what Paul's describing here. The mind of sinful man is death. Because you're going after happy chemicals, but there's a barb, there's a hook, and it hurts, and you feel bad after it, you maybe feel guilty, you maybe feel disappointed, but then you'll come back for more in a wee while. And you'll keep doing it, because your mind is on the flesh, the sinful nature, as verse 5 says. Your mind is on getting that nice feeling again, and again, and again. And out there in the world, big corporations, that's what they want to give you, so that you'll spend money with them. So, watch yourself this week ahead. Do you keep getting hooked on the same things? Little happy chemical hits, followed by disappointment, pangs of guilt, regret. But then you feel you forget that and you want the chemical hit again and you're back again. That's one way to understand how many people live. That's what Paul's saying. If you've got nothing higher than your own feelings, if you've got no God to serve and no sort of higher goal or aim than just to feel good, then this is what life looks like. Seeking happy chemicals becomes a habit, becomes an addiction, it becomes a destiny. And this is described lots of times in the Bible. Ephesians 4, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Those deceitful desires we have without Jesus, which keep us coming back time and time again for the happy chemicals. Titus 3, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. It's a slavery to live by your body feelings. 1 Timothy 6, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. That's what it's like if you're like that fish that just keeps coming back and snapping at that hook, that bait, because you want to feel good, you want food. But then there's a pang, there's a pain with it. It's not good for mental health, this, at all. So verse 6, the mind of sinful man is death. Verse 7 and 8, the sinful mind is hostile to God, doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So words like enmity, death, estrangement from God, because he's not your Lord. Your feelings are Lord. Getting what you want is Lord. But it doesn't need to be like that. Because you're not a fish. You've got a mind. And with your mind, you can change. That's what the Bible calls repentance. Literally, the word for repentance means a change of mind. You can get a new mind. And to get a new mind means having a new Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus in our lives as Lord, he doesn't bait us with false promises the way the world and the flesh and the devil do. He doesn't give us short-term addicting hits to keep hold of us and control us, like the phone can do. That's the way the phone can work. Just lots of little hits. Keep you coming back. And the mind of the flesh is death. Eventually it brings you down to death. You've got nothing. After all those little nice feelings, at the end, you look back and you say, I wish I hadn't done it that way. But the mind of the Spirit, verse 6, is life and peace. That's mental health. So how do we get that? Let's finish just thinking about that. How do we get that? How do we get life and peace? Well, by the Spirit's leading and by his teaching. His leading and his teaching. The Holy Spirit leads us mainly through the teaching of Scripture. When you receive Jesus into your life, the Spirit comes in and starts to really feed you and teach you through what the Bible says. And as you listen to that and follow that, it sets you free. You're no longer just going by what makes you feel good. You're seeking to see what God wants and what pleases him. Think about the Ten Commandments. People think of the Ten Commandments in a very negative way, but the Ten Commandments are freedom. So let me give a few examples. The mind of the flesh should have you obsess about what makes you feel good. And it's an endless thing. I'm trying to feel good. It's an addiction. First commandment says, have no other gods before me, God says. So the first commandment sets us free from having little gods of feeling good. Sets us free to serve the true God. The flesh might feel good by working long hours. Some people get their little happy chemical hits by working really hard long hours. The Holy Spirit comes with the fourth commandment, says, take that Sabbath, take that rest, take that time off for yourself, for God, for your family. Sets you free from the addiction to work. The flesh might feel good about thinking bad things about people, about imagining revenge on your enemies. Well, people dwell on bad things they want to do to other people, and they feel good about it. The sixth commandment says, don't kill. And it just sets us free from that. We can't do that. We can't think bad thoughts about people. Sixth commandment has us love our enemies. The flesh seeks pleasure in pornography. 25% of people in our country have some kind of pornographic addiction, according to the statistics. That's death, not life and peace. The Spirit says, do not commit adultery. The seventh commandment sets us free from that. Sets us free to have our minds on higher things, purity and freedom. We don't have to keep coming back for those happy chemicals. The flesh feels pleasure in envy, in imagining that we could have the things that we see other people have. We want them for ourselves. Tenth commandment says, no coveting. Sets us free. We're not to think on what other people have and wish it was ours. Instead, we should be happy with what we've got ourselves and be thankful. Sets us free. The Holy Spirit, in his leading, sets us free from addiction, from death, to life and health and peace. Because your body's never going to be done with wanting. If your mind is on your body's wants, you'll never have rest, you'll never have peace. But the Spirit frees us from that. He frees us from that by his leading, but also by his teaching. By his teaching, he tells us to trust in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will take care of everything. That brings peace. If you know that in your life, you'll have peace. Holy Spirit teaches us about God's forgiveness in Jesus. God's forgiveness frees us from striving to be good enough ourselves. It sets us free. It's a gift. The Holy Spirit teaches us about God as our Father. And that brings us security, peace, life. Holy Spirit teaches us that we have an inheritance from God. So we're content with what we have because we know God's riches are at our disposal. The Holy Spirit teaches us about God's love for us. And so we feel acceptance, freedom from worry about our image and about what other people think of us. If God loves us, there's nothing else that really matters. The Holy Spirit teaches us that God takes care of us. So it frees us from a fear of the future. See, the leading and the teaching of the Holy Spirit set us free from our body's lusts and desires and addictions and gives us a relationship with God that is life and peace. That's good for our minds. And that's what God wants to lead you and to me and me into. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So as I close, Colossians 3 says the same thing. Set your minds on things above where Christ is. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So which way is it for you and for me? Are we going to be, as verse 5 says, living according to the sinful nature by having our mind set on what our flesh or our nature desires? Or are we going to choose the way of Jesus and living in accordance with the Spirit, having our mind set on what the Spirit desires? One way is the way of death. The other way is the way of life and peace. One is the way of bad mental health and of a bad destiny, but the other is the way of good mental health and of peace and life forever with God. So we have a choice. It's very plainly put by Paul here, but it's a reality. Set your minds and your feelings and you're a slave to those feelings, like the fish in the reservoir. What a miserable existence. Set your mind on God and on His Spirit and on what He wants, and there is life and there is peace, and that's what God wants for us. It's what God's calling us to, because He loves us and He wants us to share in His life and in His peace and in His freedom. So embrace that for yourselves today. God help us.